Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Plank Chapel United Methodist Church. My name is Ron Gustafson. I'm your liturgist for this morning. We're blessed to have you all here worshiping with us today. And we want to include children and youth who might be watching online. And again, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. A couple of announcements this morning. We give thanks to God for the return of the Acolyte Ministry here at Plank Chapel. We'll hope to do this at most 11 a.m. services, but we'll have a list going for our youth. The new Acolytes completed training this past week and will be commissioned here at church on August 16th. That's 2 weeks from today. They are Alexandria Huerta, Jathan Huerta, and with us this morning, Neymar Gordon. The district superintendent will meet the pastor parish relations team and the church council this Thursday at 6 o'clock in Fellowship Hall. All leaders are encouraged to attend this meeting. Last week, we commissioned a lay visitation team that will complement the pastoral visitation and also focus on addressing the community's needs, such as loneliness, connection, and isolation. If you are interested in joining, please contact Lori Young. Are there any more announcements for this morning?
I wanted to let everybody know that Coffee Corner will be this Wednesday at the church at 10 o'clock. Everyone's invited. We'd love to have you join us.
Okay, Coffee Corner, 10 a.m. Wednesday at Fellowship Hall.
Correct.
And all are welcome.
Right. And also, I just wanted to introduce Neymar. Neymar's been part of our journey group since last September. He's an extraordinary young man. He comes to us from Jamaica. He's been here for just a little over a year. He starts in the Vance County, Granville Vance College system in the elevated high school program this fall. And in order to be in that, he had to not only be outstanding in his grades, but be of exceptional character, which we have learned with Neymar's absolutely the truth. He's been such a joy for us to get to know, and we feel very, very blessed to have him as part of us. And his wonderful mom, Nicole, has been a teacher for over 25 years, and she currently teaches second grade in Henderson, and she's obviously done a really great job with this young man because he is one of the most respectful and kind young men I've ever met.
And he's big for 13.
He's 13 going on 14.
Yes, he is an incredible young person. So, any other announcements? If not, please join in the call to worship printed in your bulletins. Welcome to worship this day.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Some have come seeking. Some have come struggling. God is truly with you all today, guiding, lifting, feeding, restarting your souls.
Praise be to God, who continually abides in us. Amen.
And please join in the opening prayer. In the darkness of night and the brightness of day, you, O Lord, are present to us. As we wrestle with situations which seem to drain us of our energy, as we struggle to find out who you can cause to be, you reach out to us with reassurance of empowerment and courage for the days ahead. Calm our spirits and prepare our hearts and lives to receive your awesome grace. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, stand as you're able, and please note that the opening hymn is number 101. Not 93 as printed. Please join now in the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May all be seated. Good morning, church. I think we do a little better than that. Good morning, church. God is good all the time. God is good. Thank you all for being here this morning. And I want to welcome you all and also those that are able to worship with us online. I think when I saw Neymar there walking, it was just a prayer answered, because many, many years we have not had any acolyte, I believe. And certainly this was a result of the scattering of the seeds, particularly, most especially on the journey. The three new acolytes that have gone through the training this past week, completed their training, and this is not just about having them come and walk and do the lighting of the candle, which Neymar, you have done a great job on your first day doing this. I must commend you on doing that, but I believe this is a testimony of the faithfulness of God and how God continued on to scatter the seeds of the kingdom, and the seeds may germinate over time. How many of you love gardening? If you happen to plant a plant today, it takes time to grow that plant, right? And I do have some of the things that was given to me when we had the senior circle. I remember Miss Donald Rose, you have all some of these flowers that plants that were given. It takes time to let that bloom. So true with being the church. You cannot fix the church overnight and have it grown all of a sudden to have this whole room filled with people, especially if you underwent so much decline over the years. Not only that, as you face also the global pandemic when we lost most of our membership, turning the church around requires patience. Just like a gardener, tilling the soil, tendering the plants, cultivating them. But what is interesting in that gospel story, as Jesus used the analogy of the sower sowing the seeds, who does the harvest? Not us. God does the harvest. All we have to do is to do our part. And the reason why I'm sharing that, as we prepare ourselves to meet with the district superintendent on Thursday, I'm sure she will recall and ask those questions. Where have you been faithful, Plank Chapel, in scattering the seeds? Are the seeds that you planted, are you doing the work of the scattering of the seeds? So pray for that meeting on Thursday. Please join with me as we come together And may we lean not on our own understanding, but rely upon the goodness of God and lean on to God. So thank you, Neymar, for you are the result of that scattering of the seeds. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your life. And thank you, Nicole, for allowing Neymar to be part of our planting of that seeds. As we gather here this morning, part of the scattering of the seeds as well is the lay visitation team that just happened this past week. And I want to give thanks to God for Laura and the whole team. They were commissioned here last Sunday and they're already on the road and they're helping me a lot, filling in those places where otherwise the pastor will not be there. So thank you, and thank you for everyone who were part of the team. Are there any other joys and concerns we want to share this morning? Or concerns that we want to raise up today? Bryant is back home, thank God. We were able to pray with him at the dump site. That's a good place to pray with Bryant. That's what actually I did. We can find God anywhere, even at the dump site. Amen? And that's exactly what Brian and I did. We lay hands and pray together at the dump site. And I thank God for that. Thank God for Tim and Midge. I was able to come and visit them this past week. And we are continually praying for them. If you happen to connect Tim and Midge, please know that you are being lifted up in prayers. Praying for God's resilience and strength upon him. Are there any other names that we want to share this morning that needs prayer? Mike Fuller has been lifted up.
He had some heart surgery this week also. Seems to be going down in my family.
Let's pray for Elaine, because my daughter Elaine, she's celebrating her birthday tomorrow. So our prayers are with her. I know we're about to enter now. It's already August, and most of the kids are going to get ready to go back to school in a few weeks. So our prayers with all the teachers and staff. And for those of you who have been teacher, you know how noble your ministry is. So we commend all the teachers. We pray for them. We pray for all the school systems that are going to be welcoming the kids back as they ready themselves to go back to school. Let us pray. Mike, upcoming test for Brother Mike. Thank you, Ms. Darlene. Would you join with me as we pray? O Lord of mercy and hope, we come before you in this beautiful day, O God, for bringing us here and reminding ourselves that we are better together. There's a beauty about coming together as the body of Christ so that we can align ourselves into the mind of Christ that help us reset our thoughts, our thinking, our behavior, our attitude for the rest of the week. But also we come here before you with fear. We know that we have fallen short of being the kind of disciples that you called us to be. We have turned our backs on people in need and we have closed our ears to the cries of the voiceless. And so we hesitate to come before you because we believe that you are disappointed in us. Oh Lord, remind us again that you are a merciful God, and that your love transforms us and changes our lives. We may falter and slide off the path of hope you place before us, and yet you pick us up and dust us off and put us again on the frail confidence of your faithful presence with us. Forgive us of our weaknesses. Strengthen us and give us courage and help us to be bearers of the good news of peace. As we lift up all these names before you, O God, and those that we hold dear in our hearts. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And let us be in a moment of silent confession at this time. Sisters and brothers in Christ, feel God's healing love pouring over you and into your lives. Know that God delights in each one of you and will always be present to you. This is indeed the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we strive to the path of peace, we look to our sisters and our brothers in Christ, people that are sitting behind you and your back or in your front of you, for encouragement and hope for the journey. So I invite us all to turn around and draw your strength from one another and share the peace of Christ to each other. Last Sunday, there were children just about running in all different places right here. They were in the playground out there, and I saw them along the hallway there in the fellowship hall. Some of them are playing different kinds of games. They're chatting together. And this was the setting of our journey that brought in so many kids, including kids from Creedmoor and Flat Rock United Methodist Churches. This is scattering of the seeds again on where God is continually reminding us all you have to do is to do your job of scattering the seeds, cultivating it so that one day God will be the one to do the harvest. It's not going to take overnight again for our church to be where it was, but God is certainly doing through us, if we do our part. Amen? So as we offer our tithes and offering to God, I want to thank the people of Flank Chapel for your continuing support to the work and the ministries so that we can keep on scattering the seeds of the kingdom. Oh, gracious and loving God, we thank you. We are grateful for all the many blessings that you keep pouring upon our lives. And we are grateful for this act of worship, for returning back what you have first given to us. Accept this, O God. Bless all the faithful givers of your church here at Plank Chapel, as we join with many saints that have gone before us, who built your church, who kept the race, who kept on scattering the seeds of the kingdom, so that we may be the church that you called us to be. We offer all of this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. You may all be seated. And I believe Miss Janet will sing this beautiful hymn as a solo. So.
Can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you do to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. I do it all for thee. To God be the glory. To God
Miss Janet, we are deeply blessed by that gift of music that you just shared with us. Thank you so much. As we prepare our hearts and minds in the reading of God's word today, I invite us all now to please join with me for the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now approaching the last two or three weeks of our sermon series on Better Together, and our Spirit is leading me now for us to read two special texts from Apostle Paul. One is written in Romans and one in Philippians. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite us all to open our scripture first on Romans chapter 12. It's a very short passage as he began to unpack what this mind of Christ looks like. And then we're going to be jumping in on Philippians chapter 12. Hear now the word of God on Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And moving on Philippians chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not on your own understanding, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Indeed, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As many of you have been tuning in, both in person and online, we've been navigating the Word of God and trying to understand what it means to reclaim the power of togetherness. And for the last couple of weeks, we have learned from the Bible that we are better together than we are apart. But there's something that we need to have as we continue on to be the church, both as a church and as individuals, and that is having the mind of Christ. The necessity of believers being of one mind, being of the same mind, is so important to Apostle Paul that he mentioned this just about in every chapter in his letter to the Philippians. So that's what we're going to be coming in today as we understand more what exactly having the mind of Christ looks like, and how we are able to cultivate this mind of Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, as we join with your Spirit in discerning your word, we pray that our thoughts be centered on you. Remove anything that will distract us or hinder us from being receptive to the word of God. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. The mind is one, if not the most powerful part of our body. The mind is the control tower of our life. And whatever happens in here controls everything. It has the power either to paralyze or motivate us. It can bring us to despair, or it can propel us to a joyful life. They can center us to the truth and lead us, or we can go to the other way around, which is the path of destruction and deception. In a sense, where the mind goes, the person follows. This mind that we have is the battlefield in every person's life. And what goes in your mind affects every aspect of our lives. It affects your behaviors, your attitudes, the way you deal with others, the way we are the church, our relationship with our neighbors, everything. What we think about what it is here is what we are and what we do. I'm saying this because as we come into the Word of God this morning, Apostle Paul takes this very seriously because this is the battlefield that we are waging right now, the battle of the mind. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to have a mind of Christ? And how can we cultivate a mind of Christ? Well, you might say to the pastor, and you may scratch your head and say, I don't think that is possible to have the mind of Christ. How can we ever know how Jesus thinks and what his thoughts are? That might be the first thing that may come out again in our minds. Yet the Bible says that we are called to be imitators. Do you remember what the scripture says? We are called to be imitators of Christ. What that means is that we need to be molded and to be shaped and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to possess the very mind of Christ. This is what the Bible says. And we need to think and act and behave like Christ. Well, Apostle Paul gives us an instruction on how to do that. He first launched this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we must first renew our mind with the Spirit. He says here in verse 2 of chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want you to take a note on these two special words that is there on verse 2. One is conform and one is transform. The word conform here means to pattern after or to be shaped or be pressed into a mold. How many of you likes baking? Oh, okay. We got some folks that likes baking. And I'm sure when you're baking a cookie, you use a cookie cutter, right? Well, it's sort of like that description of how Paul described this in Greek version. When something is pressed into a mold, like a cookie cutter, it takes on the shape or look of whatever the mold is. In other words, when a person is conforming to the world, they are being pressed or shaped into the patterns or the ways of the world. So think about the challenges we face right now with social media and the influence of contemporary music or other things that somehow shape the mind, especially of the young generations today, and how they begin to adapt to that mold and to conform. By comparison, Apostle Paul used another Greek language here when he used the word transform, which means metamorpho. And this is where we got the word metamorphosis. You remember the butterfly? That's metamorphosis. This Greek word is actually a combination of two words, which means meta and morpho, which means changing after being with, and the morpho, which means changing in keeping with the inner reality. So when you combine that both two words, it means that it is an outward change that reflects the inner reality with an inward change that only God sees. As God works to transform us from the inside, it eventually will show up on the outside. And so why is transformation necessary? When you look at the second part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you will see the reason why this transformation is necessary. Listen again to what the Bible says. So that you may discern what is what? What is the will of God? This is amazing because in order for us to know the will of God, we got to have both the transformation from inside to the outside so that we may be able to know what is the will of God. That is why this process is so important. And what you notice here in this text is the road to that transformation combines both the sacrificial giving of ourselves, which is mentioned in verse 1 of Romans 12, and the renewing of our minds, which is on verse 2, to get us to this place of knowing the will of God. In other words, you and I need to have this kind of humility on one hand, and at the same time, the renewing of the mind in order for us to know the will of God. The reason why we are not able to know the will of God is perhaps we're being blocked by our own ego, by our own pride, by our own self-centeredness, by our own me attitude. And there has to be a yielding, a complete surrender of our will to the will of God. That's why the next point that I believe the scripture is telling us here, in order for us to have the mind of Christ, is to release and surrender our mind to God. There's a book called Invisible War that Rick Warren mentioned. And in that book, it says that there is a violent battle waging on 24 hours a day in all of us. And this is the battle of the battle of the mind. Think about what's in your thoughts when you're on your way here. And think about what you're thinking right now. As we begin to hear, some of you may be thinking out there and not focusing on God's word. Some of us may already been battling in terms of our focus to hear what God wants to say to us. According to the book, it is a battle of the mind, and the battle is very vicious. It is intense, it's unrelenting. It is unfair because Satan never plays fair. And the reason why it's so intense is that your greatest asset is your mind. That's why there will be no real change happening in your life or in my life until we surrender our mind to God. And what does that mean to surrender our mind to God? That means that God is the leader of the mind in every way possible. By dwelling on His Word and growing an increasingly more intimate relationship with His presence. And I'm going to explain that more later. The Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your thoughts control your life. Every action you take is preceded by a thought. And because your thoughts control your life, it is extremely important to understand and evaluate how you think. And what you think and what influences your thinking. So we must always surrender our mind to God. Because the moment we stop doing that, we begin to have an idle mind. And the enemy will come into our minds. And that's where we begin to gossip. That's where we begin to tell others about other people. That's where we begin to compare one over the other. All this negativity begins to come out if we don't surrender our minds to the mind of Christ. That is why, according to the Bible, the mind of Christ must be filled with humility and selflessness. According to Apostle Paul, the heart of the mind of Christ is really humility. He says this in Philippians chapter 2 from verses 5 to 11, when Paul here detailed Jesus' example of humility. He said, and I quote, "Jesus was the very nature of God, who did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own advantage, but rather the Son of God became human. He humbled himself to the lowest position, even death on the cross." Why do you think Paul inserted that? Why is it there's a connection there? There's a connection between the yielding of our mind to God and our humility. We cannot be able to have the mind of Christ if we keep on controlling our own mind. If we keep on leaning on our understanding, if we keep on focusing upon our me, our attitude, no matter how God wants to enter into your mind, you will be blocking that. So the mind must be filled with humility and selflessness. And also, we have to guard our minds from garbage. That's actually the word that was used in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14, when the Bible says, "A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash." Think about the garbage things that we put in our minds every day. And I know I'm going to be hitting a lot of toes here. Music, social media, internet. Things that really, they're not helpful. They're not of God. If we want to be healthy and successful in Christian life, we got to fix our minds on the right things. I think we need to put these words from Proverbs 15 and post it in our television or in refrigerator. And someone says, if you put garbage in your mind, you will get garbage out in your life. I think that holds true. The devil will do his best to invade and control our minds. And he employs a variety of strategies to do so, like tempting us, focusing on things that are of this world rather than of God. That is why Paul is very strong in his instruction that we must guard our minds from garbage. And in order for us to do that, the reverse of that is to feed our minds with the truth from the Bible. How many times we're opening up a scripture every day, church? You remember those days when our moms and dad and our grandparents, they brought Bibles with them when they go to church? And nowadays we have access to Bible using our cell phone, and still we're having a hard time finding the time to feed ourselves. Well, fill your mind with things that are of God, not just fragments here and there. It's not enough to simply just set aside 10 or 15 minutes in the morning and then we mark our checklist and say we're done, we're off to our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When we immerse ourselves and feed our minds with the truth from the word of God, it expels darkness. It destroys those gossip and lies and deception and envy, and transform our thinking until our minds begin to resemble in the mind of Christ. It's a great habit. The more we begin to immerse ourselves in reading scripture every day, our minds begin to be renewed. And we will be able to recognize that there are thoughts that doesn't align with the word of God. Have you noticed that? Sometimes that kind of spiritual exercise becomes a filter. It helps you filter those that are not of the word of God. And you can throw them aside. if it's not in alignment with the Word of God, and replace it with the truth of God. So feed your mind with the truth from the Bible. And finally, spend intentional time in the presence of God. As I look back on my life, I know that there's time in my life that I was so busy doing things. But you know what? We got to be busy being rather than busy doing. Amen? Because at the end of the day, our intentionality in knowing Jesus is the most important thing. Because having the mind of Christ, that does not come naturally. In fact, you have to do this every day and say to yourselves, Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. Help me remove all the garbage, the things that may prevent me from focusing on you. For the Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce what? Will bear more fruits. If we abide ourselves and connected ourselves to the main vine, the Spirit will fill our well. The Holy Spirit will renew our minds, and we will be staying deeply and vitally connected with God. God will change our thinking. God will change how we think, and what influences our thinking until such time that we will be renewing our minds into the mind of Christ. Friends, we are still a work in progress. As we come to the table, let me ask this question. What is the condition of your mind today? What does it need renewing? What is it that you need to dismantle or give up so that your mind will be filled with humility and selflessness? Are we guarding our minds from garbage? Are we feeding our minds with the truth from the Word of God? Are we spending more time intentionally in the presence of Christ? I hope and I pray that you will join with me in praying this kind of prayer as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table. Let us pray. Lord, make me holy. Purify my hearts and my mind. Cleanse my thoughts and take out any garbage that is ungodly or displeasing to you. Feed my mind with the truth, and may I always spend time in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please join now in the great thanksgiving printed in your bulletins. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and your love and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked from that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him and to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release of the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By baptism of his own suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him and sit at the reign with you at your right hand. On the night of which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and the many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one in Christ. Because there is one cup, we who are many are one in Christ. We just heard the Word of God giving us the instruction to have the mind of Christ. And as we come to this table, may we embrace the mind of Christ. We're going to begin to open this first to our choir and to our worship leadership, and then the rest to the gathered community. Let us join together in prayer. Pentecost Spirit, take our hearts and set them on fire. Take our lives and transform them. Take our church and resurrect it with your life-giving Spirit. Take us and use us for the fulfillment of your vision of peace and unity. Amen. Our final hymn is found on hymn number 377. If you're able, I invite us all to stand, and we're going to be singing the first and the last stanza.
When peace of you, Lord God,
The Bible is clear. We are called to renew our mind into the mind of Christ. And let us cultivate that mind of Christ that is in us. That gift that God had given to us when we gave up our lives for Jesus. Embrace this gift and use this as we go forth from this place. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit lives and reign with us now and forevermore. Amen.
I didn't know that.